It's time for Comic Review Weekly, produced by Jackrabbit Studios in association with GravyBoy.com. Now here's your host, Andy Slott.
Hello there, comic book fans. Welcome to episode 35 of Comic Review Weekly, the podcast where you get the lowdown on comic books, hosted by me, Andy Slott. Comic Review Weekly is brought to you by the creative minds at Jackrabbit Studios, home of Gravy Boy, the comic for folks who like a little hero in their heroes. Check it out at www.gravyboy.com. It's great to have you here. It's my goal to get you to try out a few new titles that you may not have otherwise considered, or possibly to save you a few dollars by helping you avoid a really bad comic book. It's nice to have you back again to the show. I'm just trying to stay afloat in all this rain that central North Carolina keeps getting showered with. Kind of depressing weather, to be honest with you, but the good news is that I've had lots of time to catch up on some hot new comic books. Examples of which are the popular Civil War event from Marvel, reviewed a couple of weeks ago, and today's selection, DC Comics 52, a weekly series that picks up directly after the events in Infinite Crisis. So far, I've only read issues 1 through 5, and I admit that Comic Review Weekly has been slow to catch up with this. But here we are. 52, as I said, is a weekly story. But even more than that, it almost takes place in real time, with each issue representing a single week of time in the DC Universe. Writing credits all go to Jeff Johns, Grant Morrison, Greg Rucka, and Mark Waid, with pencils by Joe Bennett and inks by Roy Jose. In the aftermath of Infinite Crisis, DC's so-called Big Three heroes, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, essentially decided to take a break. Batman is going on a long, worldwide trip with Robin and Nightwing to find focus and improve his fighting skills. Superman has lost all of his powers after his battle with the murderous Superboy Prime, and Wonder Woman has decided to walk amongst the mere mortals as a human being for a change. Well, that's all well and good, but where does it leave the rest of the world? Who will stand between innocent people and harm's way until they return? 52 answers this question with its own ensemble cast of players from all different backgrounds and perspectives. We have Booster Gold, a former Justice Leaguer from the future who has returned to the present with a personal robot named Skeets, a robot who also has a database with every important event for the next 500 years. Then we have Ralph Dibny, also known as the Elastic Man, whose wife Sue was graphically murdered in the controversial Identity Crisis miniseries. When we first meet Ralph, he is at the end of his rope. The absence of Sue has left an enormous hole in this formerly cheerful superhero. But Ralph uncovers a secret plot involving Kryptonian symbology and his wife's tombstone that he must figure out. As for another character in dire need of some purpose, we have Renee Montoya. A former police officer of the Gotham Police Department, Renee has a bit of a drinking problem. And well, to be perfectly honest, I don't know what her deal is yet. She's probably one of the weaker characters so far in the story, right along with her new employer, The Question. The Question is a lot like the Rorschach character from Watchmen, if you've ever read that. A skilled detective with no facial features whatsoever, The Question hires Montoya for her skills to aid whomever or whatever he is looking for. Steel shows up as a prominent character. In case anybody doesn't know, John Henry Irons was a construction worker at the time that Superman died at Doomsday's hands. In the wake of this hero's death, Irons used his skill with technology to honor Superman's memory as Steel, sporting iron armor and a massive sledgehammer, among other goodies. Anyway, Steel has been a second or third tier character in the DC Universe since his introduction, and now has jumped to the forefront of this event. Steel's part in the story is not quite cemented yet as far as issue 5 is concerned. Mostly he has kept his niece, who also has a superpowered suit of armor, in check. He feels that she does not deserve her power, and he intends to teach her a few lessons. Last but not least, we have the ever-unpredictable Black Adam. Black Adam gets his power from the same source that Captain Marvel does, namely magic. And he is just as powerful as Captain Marvel, too. This guy could arguably take down Superman in a fight. He once ruled by the side of an Egyptian prince a few thousand years ago, and now he has returned to his home country, now called Kandak, to rule over its citizens. Black Adam's career is very inconsistent. He once was a member, or honorary member, of the Justice Society of America. But most recently, he has teamed up with Alex Luthor's Society of Villains in the pages of Infinite Crisis. He does, however, have a moral code, valuing honor and justice, well, most of the time. He just has a strange way of enforcing it, mainly tearing off limbs of people who either A. oppose him, or B. annoy him with their lack of character. The first five issues of 52 move along at what might seem like a slow pace. Don't even think about having the individual subplots of the characters resolved yet. All that you will get so far is just setup. But as setups go, this is really quite nice. As long as you, as a reader, do not hold the expectation that things will be resolved by next issue, you should be fine. Booster Gold's story, in my opinion, is the strongest and most interesting to follow. A character who we think is here to take up the slack in the absence of the big three just turns out to be a shallow opportunist. Booster can save a small child from being run over one second, then, without skipping a beat, use the occasion to pose for a photo opportunity and promote one of his sponsor's products. His costume has become cluttered with ads and slogans for several different companies who pay him to be their walking, flying advertisement. It reminds me of the outfits that NASCAR drivers wear, covered with ads in a similar fashion. But more than that, as Booster continues to use Skeet's knowledge of the future to his own advantage, he finds that future changed, and it scares him to death. He even has a breakdown at Connor Kent's funeral because the Big Three don't show up and ask him to join the Justice League as he planned. Interesting stuff. Let's see, what else is a strong plotline? I'd have to say Ralph's search for the group that desecrated his wife's tombstone is well done. Somebody has spray-painted an upside-down version of the classic Superman S symbol on the grave. The mystery here is halfway solved rather quickly, as it turns out to be Wonder Girl of the Teen Titans and a Krypton-themed resurrection cult. There are lots of hints and teases dropped in this beginning stage of 52, including the unknown fate of most of the heroes who followed Donna Troy into space during Infinite Crisis. Some returned to Earth, like the Golden Age Green Lantern, while others, like Red Tornado, were killed. And some, such as Starfire and Animal Man, are lost on an alien world far away. As far as the writing goes, 52 is pretty solid. Like I said, this particular book has a distinct beginning, middle, and end, from what I understand. Each issue, instead of taking a single character and telling his or her story, spreads it out among several. This can make for some slow changes. Make no mistake, this book is dialogue heavy. You have to pay close attention or you will miss something. But so far, 52 clearly has direction. It has a goal. What that goal is, I can't honestly say yet, but it is worth following. If only for the creepy hints that are dropped in every issue. I don't know how all of the top writers on this story managed to mesh their styles and voices so well, but whatever they're doing, it's working. The art team has some stunning talent to show off as well. It's good stuff, in the same vein as Dale Eaglesham, Rags Morales, or Steve Sadowski. Most of the action is done well, but like many comics nowadays, some of it is hurried, not illustrated clearly. As a side feature in the first group of issues, we also get a history of the DC Universe, written and drawn by Dan Jurgens with inks by Art Thibert. Basically, it's just an introduction to the vast amount of events and characters in the DCU, and serves as a summary of what was, including the original Crisis on Infinite Earths and Zero Hour. I've always admired Jurgens' work, especially his art, but I have to say that this feature adds little, if anything, to 52. So far, DC Comics fans already know all the stuff that Donna Troy is going through the trouble to explain. I know that post-Infinite Crisis there are changes in store for New Earth, but it doesn't seem like those changes are major. And I think that's a good thing. One more thing. Although the title 52 was initially thought to stand for the number of weeks this book was set to run, issue 5 clues the reader in that it may mean something else. Something bad. A good mystery, at any rate. I give 52 a solid 4 out of 5 stars. Well, everybody, that is it for this week. Thanks again for listening to Comic Review Weekly. You can email me your comments and suggestions to andy@gravyboy.com. I'd love to hear from you. I am always open to broadening my horizons and checking out new books. So if you have anything in mind that you'd like to hear about on the show, let me know. Don't be shy. Also, we now have an online map that shows where the listeners of the show live. Don't worry, nothing specific. It's just a cool way for us to get an idea of where our listeners come from. If you want to put yourself on the map, stop by this website, www.frappr.com/comicreviewweekly. Join us next Monday for another new episode of Comic Review Weekly at www.gravyboy.com/crw. I'm Andy Slaughter, wishing you a fulfilling comic book reading experience.